Culture Dumps.
Hello, and welcome back to Culture Dumps. I'm Ryan Lichten, and I am here with Eric D.
Weeks later,
we did not record both of these parts in the same day. That would be unethical.
No, I have a full different outfit on.
Yeah. Yes, and no terrible tragedies happened between these recordings, so we don't have to make an announcement or a statement for
that. Knock on wood, dude.
As if Culture Dumps is like what like our listeners are like leaning on for, like, I wonder what they think about this. Like, yeah, right, dude.
You'd be lucky if something bad happened.
Yeah.
Spike.
Yes. All right. So this is Charlie Sheen's Winning Era Part 2. Where we left off, Charlie Star was on the rise after a major scandal. And also, by the way, I didn't mention this on the first episode, but he actually had a child with a high school girlfriend long before he married Denise Richards. So that's like, floating around.
On like high school.
Like 19. Like he was 19, like had a kid.
He was 19?
Yeah. Well, like, it was his high school sweetheart, I think.
Oh, so not like you got. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He's done some bad shit, but that's not like that.
Good on him.
But yeah. And then he had, you know, kind of this like, you know, he had a fall from grace, a rise from the ashes. He was on Spin City. Then 2 and a Half Men happens. You know, married, two kids, gets divorced. Let's go. We're going to enter the warlock. Fresh off a divorce and riding high off the success of 2 and a Half Men, Charlie Sheen seemed to drift back into his old behavior. Rumors began surfacing about his increasingly volatile nightlife shenanigans, but in 2008, it appeared as though he might once again have been slowing down. It was May of 2008 when Charlie married his short-time girlfriend, B-list actress Brooke Mueller, a fellow partier with a rap sheet of her own. Within a year of their marriage, Brooke gave birth to twin sons. Despite Charlie's growing success and the birth of his sons, things at home were rough to say the least. On Christmas of 2009, Brooke Mueller called 911 and reported that her husband, one Charlie Sheen, was intoxicated and held a knife to her throat during an argument. Charlie allegedly lost it after Brooke threatened him with divorce. Sheen spent that Christmas in jail and would later plead guilty to misdemeanor assault.
What a fucking pussy.
Merry Christmas.
A fucking knife?
Yeah.
Really?
I know. How, like, you could have handled that with your hands, bud.
Amen, Ryan.
You don't need to bring a fucking utensil into this.
Bruises only.
Yeah. Use a phone book. It doesn't leave bruises.
Don't cancel me.
Yeah. The last dump. But this news really troubled the cast and crew of 2 and a Half Men. It also seemed that the more his life began like reflecting his character on the show, the less interest he had in playing that character. Like partying all the time and then playing a character based on you and your partying, that gets stagnant. Because it was kind of like a novelty when 2 and a Half Men started. Because
sure.
It's like, I'm sober now. I have a new wife. I have some kids. Yes, I had my party days. Chuck Lorre, the creator of the show, had his party days. Let's look back and laugh. And I know how to act like this. But once you start being that guy again, you don't want to go to work and be that same guy.
For sure.
You know, so
I'm sure, like, too, like, he's never been washed up. You know, it's Charlie fucking Sheen.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there was a moment in time in the late 90s, early 2000s where, like, he was, you know, people like me and you would be like, oh, Charlie Sheen. But then he got in the biggest show of all time. So his celebrity is recharged once again. And
it's huge.
Single, tons of money. Not that he never had tons of money.
Well, he was only single for that short amount of time because then he gets married to Brooke.
Yeah.
But then that lasts just a short amount of time before he holds a knife to her throat.
But then he's the biggest thing in the world again.
Exactly.
So here we go.
But now, you know, and everyone in the crew and the cast of 2 and a Half Men, they knew his background and they knew his stuff. But that's what kind of brought the charm to it, where it's like, oh, look at Charlie Sheen now. We know that in real life he's fine, but he's playing this raunchy party animal guy. That's charming.
It was called Three Men, but he cut one of them in half with that knife.
Yeah.
Weird show.
2 and a Half Men. One was his dick. So although his actions began to impact those who worked with him, he was undoubtedly the driving force of the show, which by this time was one of the highest rated sitcoms in history. When it came time to renew contracts, Charlie's behavior almost seemed to have been rewarded. While his producers, and Chuck Lorre in particular, urged Charlie to get some kind of treatment for his substance abuse, it was not part of his contractual obligations. Also, he was given a raise, bringing his salary to a whopping $1.8 million an episode.
An episode?
An episode.
Whoa.
Two and a Half Men has 20 episodes a season.
Jesus Christ.
Can you believe it?
No.
And that made him, and still, I think he still holds this record, the highest paid actor in television history. $1.8 million for a 25-minute bit of
that's,
acting.
That's more than sports, any sports.
It's insanity.
Yeah.
And they could have put in a clause in his contract that mentioned his off-screen behavior. They call it behavioral clauses, things like that. There's all sorts of legal jargon for it where it basically says, like, you have to keep your shit together outside of your work because your reputation will influence what happens to the show. But they didn't do that. And also, it was around that time that Chuck Lorre, was going through his own problems and got a divorce and began attending AA, which gave him a sense of self-righteousness that he then pushed on Sheen. And that's really the catalyst of the quote-unquote winning era. Sheen did, however, enter rehab briefly after this assault charge. But that was just, you know, it's kind of like hitting the reset button and then you just go back to what you're doing.
That's just a,
it's like
a cover up.
A vacation.
Showing face.
It's a vacation.
Yeah.
Now, Charlie would make headlines for all the wrong reasons once again in October of 2010 when he was arrested after his then girlfriend, porn actress Capri Anderson, called the police to report that Charlie had strangled her and then proceeded to trash the room they were staying in at the famous Plaza Hotel in New York. Charlie denied the incident and insisted that it was all blown out of context. But now, with so much more money on the line than before, Charlie's bosses were fed up with the scandals. Chuck Lorre himself insisted that Charlie should be in rehab, a suggestion that infuriated Sheen, who addressed the hypocrisy of giving him shit for the behavior that inspired the character he was playing on the show. You see, it is a weird fucking mind fuck, you know, like that's going on here.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. It's like, oh, you wrote this character based on me and how crazy I am. Now I'm that crazy again, but I'm still showing up to work, still crushing it, but you hate it now. Bullshit.
Yeah, it's, yeah. I mean, that's also addict behavior.
Totally.
When someone
says, absolutely. Yeah.
Just wrap it up a little bit. Your ego's going to, I mean, I've dealt with it.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Now, while Sheen's behavior was concerning to say the least, it had yet to actually impact the production of the show. But after his second arrest for domestic violence, he began to miss table readings and rehearsals, forcing the producers to have Charlie stand in, read his lines. So, you know, if you don't know, like with a sitcom, with any TV show, before an episode, everyone sits down at a big table with the producers, the director, and you read through the lines. So everyone kind of knows the beats and you can make notes. He wasn't showing up for those. He's like, fuck it. The rehearsals, because again, Two and a Half Men was a live studio audience.
Yeah.
That's a rare thing
you
now.
You need to nail that.
Yeah, because you're in front of people.
Yes,
you know,
not,
like, the
not,
laughs you hear are real laughs.
There's no eight takes, and if there is, it's embarrassing and terrible.
Yes, exactly. But he would show up on the day of actually filming and just crush. So they really couldn't say, he's like, I'm doing.
It's like Bill Murray did that for Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
He showed up the first day of filming. When they were like, we don't know if he's going to show up, and
yeah,
just knew his lines, and obviously a lot of that movie's improv, but they were like, thank God you showed up, because they were like ready to film, and he's like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, what a piece of shit, dude.
Yeah, and so they're using his stand-in, a guy who has no lines that is literally just used to get the camera marks right.
You know,
and they're like, you got to read
his
lines.
You know that guy went to the bar in 2010 and was like, I fill in for Charlie Sheen on Two and a Half Men, and everyone was like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah. He's like, no, look at me from behind.
I always think about that, and guys that were like background actors in really amazing movies or like small roles.
Yeah, yeah,
like in 2024 being like, I swear to God I was in Top Gun, and they're like, no you weren't. And he's like, here, look, like, that's not you.
Yeah.
And he's like, I swear to God, like, please.
Well, it's like Parks Miller and I worked on a Woodstock 99 documentary, Burn It Down, which has yet to have a public release, but they did screen it at Alamo Draft Houses, and I went to see it and I was so excited. And I was, because I had a credit, and I had to wait until the very end, like the special thanks, like after the music stops,
yeah,
and they
misspelt
my name, and it was
oh
so
my
funny.
God,
it was classic.
What did they, Ryan? What did they
just switched a couple letters around my last name, but because there was no behavior related clauses in his contract, Charlie could not be fired for his off screen antics. But Chuck Lorre and the producers of Two and a Half Men had another plan. In January of 2011, it was announced that the show would be going on an indefinite hiatus until Charlie could get treatment for his addiction issues.
What season was that, do you know?
I want to say 3 or 4.
Okay.
But this infuriated Sheen, not just because of the implications and pause in his cash flow, but he also truly was upset that the cast and crew were also put on hold for something that he never really considered a problem. Because in his head, he's like, look, yeah, I missed some rehearsals, I missed some table reads, but I show up, I crush it, I'm still the most famous person on the show, you love me, I'm the highest paid actor in television history. Why are you punishing this crew of 200 people that make this show?
He's defending his performance where the other guys are like, hey, man, this show is like family-ish friendly and your public persona is terrible. So it has nothing to do with you showing up and performing.
Well, but the thing with Two and a Half Men is, I encourage you to check it out.
Oh.
It is raunchier than your normal sitcom.
For
it's all about him like banging chicks and
I know
and
that.
Getting fucked up. But
the public persona,
but you can't
though,
do it in real life.
Exactly.
That's the difference.
Right.
Because
then people are going to be like, I don't want to support a guy that strangles fucking people.
Yeah, and holds knives to women. Yeah, all that shit. So Sheen decided it was time to take matters into his own hands, and he began making appearances on major media outlets, starting with Alec Jones's InfoWars.
Oh my God, that's where it started?
That was his first interview, and he goes, oh, they're fucking, you know, they're running the fucking shit, and Hollywood's controlled by you-know-who's, and blah, blah, blah. Like, and it's
that's
just
why
like,
so many fucking idiots were like, yeah.
Yeah, winning. Yeah. But Sheen did not mince words or shy away from any topic. He openly insulted his boss and the show itself. And the more attention he was given, the more outrageous his interviews became. The Warlock was born. We are officially, folks, in the winning era. So not long after his viral appearance on InfoWars, Charlie Sheen was fired from Two and a Half Men because he was bad-mouthing the bosses and stuff. It didn't have to do with him partying and getting into trouble. It was, you're literally hurting the show now.
Yeah, his ego got hurt and he fucking attacked the show that was making him $1.8 million an episode, idiot.
And it's a whirlwind. I mean, he's arrested. Hey, biggest raise ever. Fired. Media sensation. Chuck Lorre was also petty. And this is a very interesting thing that I didn't know. But Chuck Lorre, so at the end of a TV show, especially sitcoms, there's something called a vanity card, which is rarely used now. But what it was a way for the producers to get a message out to the viewers. So after the credits, there would maybe for 10, 15 seconds, 30 seconds, be like a memo, right? And Chuck Lorre used that to talk shit on Sheen, where he's like, we wanted to do this on this episode, but somebody,
straight
blah, blah, blah.
On cable in the credits?
You could see them. And you're like, oh shit, wow. You'd have to pause it to
so
read
like,
it,
because yeah,
they're that
like,
fast. But it's called a vanity card. Yeah.
But you're like openly talking shit.
Yeah, and he's like, we wanted to smash him with a piano, but he didn't even show up because someone's too wasted. Like shit like that. And you're like, whoa. So it's getting really rough.
That's like ABC or something, right? Like
CBS. Yeah, CBS. Yeah. So it was rough. And again, so you have these powerhouses, you have the creator of the show, the showrunner. Showrunning is the most powerful job you can have in television.
Running.
Yeah. And so they're battling each other. Now, this dump is all about the winning era of Charlie Sheen, but we still have not reached the peak of the winning mountain. The Charlie Sheen winning era truly begins on March of 2011 with the interview heard around the world. That interview was Charlie's appearance on 2020, where his discussion with Andrea Canning became one of the most talked about celeb what the fucks of the decade. Not only did Charlie address the drama of his professional life, but he also introduced the world to his goddesses, a pair of young women whom he was dating and living with simultaneously. He also claimed he was drug free, and when giving a drug test, he miraculously passed, which is way crazier.
Is that like paid for?
they made him do it, like, or they're like, we challenge you to take a drug test because he was so fucking unhinged.
Yeah.
And now this is, folks, I'm gonna blast you with some samples right now, but this is the one. This is the interview. The 2020 is where all this shit really comes from. At one point, Andrea Canning asked him, "Oh, are you bipolar? Have you been diagnosed as bipolar?" And Charlie responds with,
"Some are saying that you're bipolar."
Wow, what does that mean?
I guess that, you know, you're on two ends of the spectrum.
Wow. And then what? What's the cure? Medicine? Make me like them? Not gonna happen. I'm by winning. I win here and I win there. Now what? If I'm bipolar, aren't there moments where a guy like crashes in the corner like, oh my God, it's all my mom's fault? Shut up. Shut up. Stop. Move forward.
By winning.
Oh yeah. Classic.
Yeah.
And thus the internet t-shirt was born.
100%.
And thus I got a career.
This interview is responsible for almost all of his memorable quotes. Like, he talks about, you couldn't handle my brain. If you put my brain in your head for a second, you'd be like, unplug this bastard. I'm going to play it.
It's all passion.
Your passion is coming off as erratic
to
people.
Right. Well, you borrow my brain for 5 seconds and just be like, dude, can't handle it. Unplug this bastard. Yeah. Because it fires in a way that is, I don't know, maybe not from this particular terrestrial realm.
I love Charlie Sheen's voice. Unplug this bastard. Like, it's just Marlboro Reds. And also, by the way, folks, if you're curious, Charlie Sheen smoked Marlboro Reds, still does, soft pack.
He's old school.
Yeah, if you remember from our anti-smoking episode with Ian Fidance, we discussed at length how much cooler soft packs are than normal cigarettes.
Yeah, you can crush them, no problem.
Yeah, you can sit on them,
ruin them.
It's awesome. Yeah, it also means that you're not planning on having an entire pack long enough for something to happen to them. It means you're going to smoke through that entire thing.
Oh, yeah, you ain't tripping, dog.
Yeah. But this is also the interview, the 2020 interview, where he mentions Tiger Blood, which became kind of his calling card besides winning. And I want to show you the birth of the Tiger Blood quote.
Tell me about the last time you took drugs.
The last time I took drugs, I probably took more than anybody could survive. You know,
what are we talking about? How much?
I don't know, man. I was banging 7 gram rocks and finishing them because that's how I roll. I have one speed. I have one gear. Go.
How do you survive that?
Because I'm me. I'm different. I just have a different constitution. I have a different brain. I have a different heart. I have a different, you know, I got tiger blood, man.
You don't worry that you're going to die when you take that many drugs?
Dying's for fools.
But you're only human.
Now, there's certain blends I will not entertain because that's how people go down. I'm too smart to do that. So
now there's a million things that he says in this interview. We're going to post on our Patreon. It's incredible, the full length one. He mentions that he has Adonis DNA. He's a warlock. I'm a freaking rock star from Mars. Like, all this amazing. It goes on and on and on. It's perfect. And he has Death from Above tattooed on his gut, which
he
is
does?
So sick. Yeah, but he had abs, like hardcore.
Was it
abs.
Like Old English or?
Like, yes. It's like rough.
He should start a hardcore band.
Winning.
Yeah, that's the name of the band. Yeah. X Winning X.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this bombshell interview came out at just the right time to go viral. See, by 2011, YouTube was a force to be reckoned with. Also, visual social media platforms were booming, like Twitter, Instagram, making it incredibly easy for someone to share a clip of that interview. And that's why you had so much merch, just bootleg Winning, Tiger Blood, like all that shit, spoofs on SNL with Bill Hader playing Charlie Sheen, remixes like on YouTube where it's like, I'm winning, winning.
Tiger Blood.
Yeah, all that shit. So it's like, again, 2010, I would say to 2012 is really where the internet got its wings as far as shit going viral really quickly.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't the subject matter itself going viral, but you could be just someone living, you know, in the Midwest, you see this Charlie Sheen thing, you make a 30-second clip of it, and now you are getting money on
Instagram
YouTube.
Instagram came out in 2011.
Right.
We had Facebook. Like, YouTube was already established.
It was perfect. And everything was happening.
No.
You know? Now, another internet platform was in its infancy, and Charlie was right there to test the waters. Live streaming was not a really popular form of entertainment in 2011. It was too new, and no one had really established the live vlog format yet. But Sheen created an account on Ustream and began making daily vlogs that he titled Sheen's Corner, spelt with a K. Yeah. And on that, I mean, first of all, he was really ahead of his time. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll just stream. But again, because of YouTube, like, becoming huge and Instagram and all that stuff.
And it being Charlie fucking Sheen.
And it's Charlie Sheen. So now you had hours, like, every week of new shit to clip.
For sure.
You know, so people are making
Never
a living off of the Winning era.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure there's, like, millionaires that sold Winning shirts back then.
Totally. 100%. And he would often talk about his former boss, Chuck Lorre, which he would refer to as Fuck Bory.
Oh, nice one, Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, proto clippers would dissect these videos and repost the most salacious parts, creating a Sheen publicity machine with very little effort from the warlock himself. Also, keep in mind that even with 2.5 Men off the air, Lorre also had Big Bang Theory, which was quickly replacing Sheen's show as the most popular.
I'm not rooting for him anymore then.
Yeah, yeah. He created... Dude, this guy is a monster in sitcoms. Like, I feel like maybe he hates himself because he's like, none of this shit's good, but everyone loves it.
That's like every time I release my Taylor Swift shirt.
Yeah, right, right. Because Big Bang Theory is I think the most watched or most successful sitcom of all time.
Yeah,
like it replaced Two and a Half Men. It took that
before,
spot.
Before I moved to LA, I worked at a pop culture record store, and like we made so much money off of Bazinga shirts that it was
Bazinga.
Fucking, it was hilarious.
That see, Bazinga replaced winning.
Yeah,
but
I'm sure it did.
That's the deal. But yeah, so. Also, though, if Sheen hadn't have been fired, Two and a Half Men probably would have kept its place as the most popular. But without him, Big Bang Theory thrived. Has nothing to do with this. Now, just 1 month after his legendary 2020 interview, Charlie decided to take his rants on the road. And in April of 2011, he announced his Violent Torpedoes of Truth, Defeat is Not an Option tour. That's the craziest thing. I would kill for a t-shirt from
what
that.
What was it called again?
Charlie Sheen went on a speaking tour, riding the high of winning, and it was called, again, folks, Violent Torpedoes of Truth, Defeat is Not an Option Tour.
All right, you get 10%.
Yeah, there you go. And the tour was supposed to be a long run of live shows that would feature Sheen winning and regaling audiences with tales of Hollywood glory, but what ended up was far different from that expectation. The first stop on the Violent Torpedoes of Truth, Defeat is Not an Option tour was April 2nd in Detroit, Michigan. What started as a, you know, excitement-fueled night of fun quickly dissolved into an embarrassing mess that ended with Sheen being booed off the stage. Basically, it comes out like he had a live guitarist that would just like wail a solo, but there was really nothing else going on. And it, like, people were just like, Christ, it was too loud. And then he comes out and he's just like, winning, like burns through all of his catchphrases in about 5 minutes.
It sounds like Corey Feldman's set list right now.
Yeah. Which is upcoming dump, folks. Not Corey, but the two Corys. Also, he'd show random video clips. He tried to do crowd work. Like, it. None of it was planned. He, I think, just assumed that because he was riding so high, people would just be stoked no matter what.
Yeah.
But people quickly realize, like, oh, this sucks. Yeah, this is bad.
Yeah.
Now, that tour only lasted a handful of the over 20 scheduled dates due to low ticket sales and horrible reviews. It was almost as though Charlie was being confronted face to face with the monster he had created. He discovered in real time how the public's perception of him had changed, and he did not like what he saw. And this is when Charlie did what no one thought was possible. He won everyone back. Like, he's epic. Like, he really is a Hollywood warlock. He does have tiger blood. No one can do what he did. What's coming next? No one could have suspected that. This guy's openly talking about banging 3 gram rocks. I got one speed, go. Which is, I say that all the time. I got one speed, go. I quote him all the time to this day. Years, almost, what, 10 plus years later, I'm still quoting that shit. But it's not for the crazy shit. Like, it's the turnaround that he has. Like, people really underestimate how much we like him.
Sure. It was also 5 years before cancel culture fully was like a thing.
Oh, it would never happen now. Yeah,
you know what I mean. But like, yeah, like people our age or people older than us are like, it's Charlie Sheen. Like, we're rooting for him. We love his movies. We love him. I don't know.
He's a warlock.
I don't know about the knife shit or the strangling abusive shit. You know what I mean? But because there was no, I mean, Twitter existed, but no one was really like hip to it like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, I probably rooted for him too, but now I'm like, fuck this guy.
I mean, I wanted it to go on forever. Actually, if you watch, you know, and I mentioned it on the last episode, The Dark Side of the 2000s, there's a pop culture professor from some, you know, prestigious university that's on it. And he talks about how he gets nostalgic for those times. Like, he's like, I miss that era because it was like, there was so much going on in pop culture. Like, it was almost unbearable.
Yeah. I mean, also like, he's hugely famous again, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a matter of like celebrities like thrive on attention and clout and all that.
Yeah.
And if he's gonna start beating his girlfriends, like, the $29,000 a year you're spending on prostitutes,
yeah,
is probably the move.
Yeah,
because they leave. Right?
Yeah, but you can't hit them either, folks.
No. But like, they fuck you and they leave.
Yeah.
Just,
you don't have to deal with their shit. Yeah,
yeah, but then you date a porn
star.
And
that was misspoken. I did not mean it the way that sounded.
No. But like, that dude like clearly can like fuck prostitutes and then go about his day and be a psycho. But when you're in a relationship with someone that crazy, there's going to be all sorts of like repercussions.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially porn stars. Well, I can only imagine the fights they got into with egos.
Well,
or
and
jealousy.
these poor, you know, actresses, these pornography actresses, you know, they're like, oh, Charlie Sheen, A-list guy, highest paid guy in television. And then he's a fucking psycho when you get there. Like, that sucks. Now, like a phoenix. After a burning roller coaster of a year, Sheen managed to turn his monumental scandal around, just as he had done so many times in the past. The thing no one considered about Charlie was that people really like him. And he proved that in September of 2011 when he appeared at the Emmy Awards to present the award for Outstanding Lead Actor in a Comedy Series. Sheen graciously presented the award and expressed heartfelt well wishes to his former co-stars and crew members from Two and a Half Men. This gesture was especially poignant considering that Two and a Half Men was returning to television with a replacement for Charlie, played by Ashton Kutcher, that very night. So right after the Emmys, they debuted Two and a Half Men again after the hiatus with a replacement for him.
Did he know this?
Character. He knew it.
Yeah, okay.
No, he knew it. But he's like, this is my way to be a good guy. And honestly, it really is a class act. And he won everyone back. And the show continued to be a huge success, partially in a very small way because of Charlie's well wishes. You know, because he was like, look. I know you loved me on the show. Still watch the show. It's great. I love everybody on the show.
Give the blessing.
I wish you the best. Yeah. It's a great show. I had a great time. Congratulations, and I wish you the best. No one expected that because of the fuck Bori and like all his crazy rants that he just spent the previous year doing. You know, it's insane.
If he did 3 to 4 seasons, he probably made around $80 million.
He made so much money, and it went all up his nose.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could do $100 million worth of cocaine.
Yeah, I would die. I mean, I would die if I did like $70 worth.
But yeah, if I got kicked off my show after making $100 million, close to $100 million, I'd be like, well wishes.
Yeah.
Because he's probably back into the routine of not having to wake up and act and learn lines and work.
He's probably
doing
this Ustream shit. I mean, he might not be making the money.
But he already has that money.
He already has it. So it's just the fame part. Sure. You know, because acting is two parts. It's the riches and it's the fame.
And,
so he's already getting the
And
the,
he's a Nepo baby.
And he's a Nepo baby. So never to waste momentum, the night after the Emmys that Charlie Sheen starred in, he was the star of a Comedy Central roast of himself.
Yes.
This is the next day after the Emmys. The day after Two and a Half Men debuts with a replacement
for
him. That
must have been planned.
It's
so perfect.
He just did it. And when, like, you know, the top comedians in the world basically got together to personally embarrass and make fun of the star. And the roast of Charlie Sheen was cathartic. It really helped fans feel like that they themselves were getting a chance to speak their mind to Sheen. And when it was over, Sheen was officially back in the good graces of the public. After appearing to make a full 180, it was announced that Charlie Sheen would be starring in a new sitcom titled Anger Management. And that was in June of 2012.
Is that Fox?
I think so.
I think it was Fox.
The premiere of Anger Management was the highest rated premiere in cable history.
Really?
Everyone couldn't wait to see what he was going to do next.
Did you watch it?
No. and it's based on the 2003 movie with Adam Sandler and Jack Nicholson.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Anger Management. Yeah, it's like...
Weird.
Yeah, it's a thing. But, I mean, again, he had done the Tiger Blood shit, Two and a Half Men, all the shit, and everyone's like, what's he going to do next? Everyone tuned into that highest rated premiere in cable history
Jesus Christ.
This day.
That's wild.
Now, Sheen learned that old habits die hard in November of 2013 when he became engaged to porn actress Brett Rossi. The two would remain together until October of 2014. And the couple seemed...
I love him marrying porn actresses and then like it lasts like one year.
A day, yeah.
Like, that dude's a psycho,
They
man.
Didn't even get married. They were just engaged and that was it.
Oh, my God.
Now, they seem to have split on mutual terms, but the next bombshell in the saga of Charlie Sheen would change everything. The show that made Charlie Sheen the highest paid actor in television history, the show that he made one of the most watched of all time, ended in February of 2015. The final scene of Two and a Half Men shows Sheen's character, presumably played by a stand-in, walking up to the door of the house that the show took place in. And before he can knock, a piano falls from the sky and kills him. The camera pans out and you see Chuck Lorre in a director's chair, who turns around to the camera and quips, "Winning," very petty end to a very petty feud.
I'm like, while Don't Stop Believing by Journey plays. In the
yeah,
background.
And then it goes black.
Yeah, then it goes black.
But yeah, it's like so.
That's how that ended?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And again, if you remember back to what we were talking about the vanity cards, you know, Chuck Lorre had said we wanted him crushed by a piano. He finally did it because he's in charge of the show. He can do whatever he wants.
Sure.
And he had to get that last fucking dig in.
I mean, I back it.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Now, the end of Two and a Half Men and the death of Charlie Harper symbolize the end of the winning era and really the death of Charlie Sheen as we had known him for so many years. In November of 2015, Sheen came out as HIV positive. He made the announcement on national television and claimed that while he was aware of his diagnosis for years, he never publicly admitted it out of fear of public stigma that still unfortunately surrounds the virus, but also his decision to go public came after years of attempted and successful blackmail. A representative for Sheen claims that he had made upwards of $10 million in payouts for people threatening to expose him. One of the goddesses, for instance, took pictures of his medication that she had found in his drawer. Now, this is a sketchy thing. We don't know the real story because it's, you know, differing versions of it. But apparently she was going through his drawers for whatever reason and found HIV medication. It was like, what the fuck? You know, now here's something that everyone needs to know about HIV, by the way. You can have the virus in your blood so in such a small amount that's what's known as undetectable. And if you are undetectable, you're still HIV positive, but you are unable to transmit the virus to someone else. Now, was he undetectable at the time and he knew that and was just like flying? We don't know, but that is a thing that you gotta understand.
That's like major assault if it is a
But you still need to disclose this because there is, you know, laws against criminal transmission of HIV
of
and
course.
Things like this.
Dude, yeah,
but undetectable equals untransmissible. That's what ACT UP says. It's a whole thing. I just burped. Now, the goddesses, they took pictures of his meds. Brett Rossi, the porn star he was engaged to, threatened to sue because of potential exposure. And it really did kind of rock Hollywood. Sheen was the first celebrity in a long time to come forward as HIV positive. And many saw this as a punishment for his decades of debauchery. And some saw it as a glimpse into the true depths of his perceived sexual deviancy. The rumors ran wild. I have all the Inquirer issues the week that happened, and it's like transsexuals and blah blah blah, and she, you know, like getting butt fucked and like shit. Who knows, you know? But I mean, you throw enough darts at the dartboard, you'll hit a bullseye eventually.
Sure.
So Charlie Sheen became somewhat of a spokesperson for the HIV positive community for a brief period of time, helping to lower the stigma attached to the condition that for many years was considered a death sentence. He has been interviewed many times about his life post-diagnosis and even has done some acting here and there in the years since his status admission. Also, very interesting, in 2023, and I don't think this ever happened, but it was announced that him and Chuck Lorre were working together again to develop a new show titled How to Be a Bookie.
Okay, so they probably realized they could make a shit ton of money together.
A shitload of money. Yeah, but I don't think it ever happened. Because I think Sheen fell off the wagon again, and that's when you get the, I'm sorry, I'm so fucking hammered at Taco Bell.
I saw a thing, and so Charlie Sheen lives in Malibu.
Yeah. In a trailer park.
In 2023, someone broke into his house and attacked him, too.
It was a neighbor of his whose name was Electra. And all I got to say about this is that Charlie Sheen living in a, when I say trailer park, by the way, we're talking Malibu. This is nicer than I live. I mean,
the fact that a trailer park exists there is weird.
It's weird, but it's also very swank. And that's just, you know, he's saving his money, whatever. And he gets attacked by a neighbor in his Malibu trailer park named Electra. There's a story there. There's got to be something.
Did I ruin your script? Did you have
No.
Yeah,
no,
I don't.
No.
I don't know the specifics or anything.
No. Also,
like that.
I mean, because I have like a flash bit of notes here. Recently seen drunk at Taco Bell. We talked about that.
Yep.
Electra attacking him.
Yep.
He punched a dental assistant. So he's being Sheen still. He's still winning.
Clearly.
He's still winning. And I think it's safe to say that with all the ups and downs, tragedies and triumphs, wins and losses, the thing Charlie Sheen might end up being remembered for the most was his winning era. What does it all mean? It's hard to break down these two-parters, folks, because there's so much information there. And, you know, I don't consider myself an expert or some philosopher or anything, but I try my best. So
I'm not going to come on the podcast anymore. I thought you were an expert.
Well, I guess I am. But what does it all mean? Well, I guess it means that with great talent and success comes great ego. The massive ego that fueled the winning era was forged from the massive talent Sheen had proven himself to possess. But this also helped to keep him in a state of limbo known as functional addiction. Why would he see a problem with his behavior when he was able to deliver so well on set? Sometimes, functional addictions are worse because they allow the addict to cruise by for years without ever realizing the true damage that they are doing. Now, it would be easy for someone to say that he surely was not a functional addict, but that's the benefit of having an outside perspective. There have been plenty of substance-fueled celebrity meltdowns that the American public could not get enough of, and usually those are terribly sad and exploitative moments. But with Sheen, it was different. He put everything out there himself. Hell, he even took the show on the road. And this was the first meltdown that we were personally invited to witness. And it was great. And that's what it means to me. And also, I want to make it clear, I have a big problem with the narrative that him getting HIV or being diagnosed with HIV was somehow a punishment for his bad behavior. HIV status, it's not a punishment. It's a consequence. It's an effect from a cause, not some moral strike down from a power up above, and it should never be looked at that way.
Yeah, that's some Catholic Christian, like...
Totally.
That's some fucked up shit, dude.
It's like, well, that's what you get. It's like, no, that's not what you get.
So many innocent people contract that shit, and it's such a tragedy.
And you know what? It's not a death sentence. Like I said, undetectable, untransmissible. And Charlie Sheen even said that he wanted to commit suicide when the doctor came in and gave him the diagnosis, but then quickly changed his mind when they just gave him a bottle of pills, his prescription, and said, all right, you're good to go. Yeah. And he's like, oh, what? I just take this once a month or whatever? And now there's even a shot where I think you get it every 3 months. So HIV is not what it was in the 80s, but that stigma exists. And human beings are pieces of shit and we're awful and we like tearing down the high and mighty. So when he was diagnosed, everyone took it as that's what you get.
Yeah.
But that's a very short-sighted way of looking at it.
Yeah. Another weird thing with the HIV diagnosis and winning is that Magic Johnson got diagnosed in 1991. And in 1992, he went to the Olympics basketball team and won.
Yeah.
That's real HIV winning.
And that's back then.
That's when
he had like scarier. He had like the good stuff. Like he had like the fucking IPA, like fucking 12% shit.
Like
yeah.
When the USA Dream Team won the Olympics in 92, Magic Johnson should have said winning to the camera. Because I would have been like, yeah.
But you know what, folks? If you're actually winning, you don't need to tell anyone.
And
that's the other thing. So, folks, Meth Syndicate. Eric D is here. Hey. Check out Meth Syndicate. Get the shirts. You can't get a winning shirt, but you can get a bunch of other good stuff.
We got a Culture Jumps winning shirt coming out soon.
Yeah. It's just a fucking blood test. Patreon.com/Culture Jumps for over 150 some odd bonus episodes, side series, exclusive. Same with Podcast 99. We have all of our Woodstock 99 stuff up there. And thanks to the overlords at Patreon, you can now, if you don't want to subscribe, if you don't want to commit, but you want to see, for instance, the full length video interview of me with Daisy De La Hoya, you can just purchase a one time view. Same with the Woodstock 99 mystery tape. So patreon.com/culturedumps. But the best way that you can help us, I mean, obviously I prefer money, but share the show with your friends. Tell everyone about it. Repost the episodes. I always get excited for the end of the year when everyone shares their Spotify most listened to. I'm so flattered that some of you listen to me more than any other fucking asshole with a microphone out there. So thank you guys so much. This was Charlie Sheen's Winning Era Part 2. I'm Ryan Lichten. I've been joined by Eric D. Keep on dumping. Winning!